Good evening. I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to stand up here tonight. I always enjoy studying for the lessons, including the Wednesday night devotionals. It's always learn something. And tonight we're going to talk about power. And as I was studying, I came upon some verses that I've read probably many times, but some things stuck out according to my lesson title. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But my idea came up from a lesson from an article that I read in a paper, and it was an article about Elliot Spitzer, the governor of the state of New York, who was once the prosecutor there, who prosecuted those who broke the law, rose to power, became the attorney general, and unfortunately found himself on the wrong side of the law, breaking the law. He lost his office, he lost his good name, and it made me think of a quote. And according to the internet, it was attributed to John Emmerich, Edward Dahlberg Acton, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is so true, but only to a degree. Sadly, the Spitzer story is not new. We've seen countless news stories about people who are in positions of power and only to find themselves in trouble because they broke the law. It's even worked its way into the religious world, as there have been supposedly religious people who have found them in the very same situation as Spitzer. Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart come to my mind. But as we look at the world today, we should realize that this isn't something new. Hopefully we can learn from other people's mistakes. This started in the beginning with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, where we read that they were in charge of the garden. God had given them the power to do whatever except for one thing. And what did they do? They did the one thing that God told them not to do and got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But one of the first persons that I really thought about was Moses. Turn with me to Numbers 20, beginning in verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Here we find the once humble Moses, who in Exodus 3, chapter 11, when God was calling him, and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He was questioning his power to lead. But yet we know the story how he rose to power. He led the children out of Egypt. And then what did he do? He'd overcome obstacles after obstacles. And yet with all his power and success, he chose not to give glory to God. He struck the rock instead of speaking to it as God had commanded him. The consequence, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 34, Moses was not able to enter the promised land. He got to see it, but he never got to enter it. The second person I thought about was King Saul. In 1 Samuel verse 9:21, we see that Saul said to Samuel before he was anointed king, Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin, wherefore then speakest thou to me after this manner? Here's another person that was wondering, why me? Yet we know that he was anointed the king because of God. He was of power, but yet just a few chapters later in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see where King Saul disobeyed God. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 11, God says, It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned his back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. The consequence of Saul's succumbing to his power was he lost his crown. Not only did he lose his crown and his throne, but he would continue to abuse his power and try to have his successor, David, killed, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 19. The next person I thought about was David. He was the successor to the throne. He inherited the power. And God led him to many great victories. But as we know in 2 Samuel verse 11, David sinned. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. When she reported this to David, what did David do? First, he tried to trick her husband into sleeping with her so that it wouldn't be found out and it would cover everything up. When that didn't work, what did he do? He decided to send Uriah into the battle so that he could be killed. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 through 17, "And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, Set ye Uriah in the foremost front of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also." David used his power to cover up his sin and have someone killed. Fortunately, as we read on in chapter 12 there, that David repented of his sin. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Sure sounds like it. Next person I wanted to talk about was King Rehoboam. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we read the story where Rehoboam succeeded Solomon to the throne and becomes king. And what did he do? In 1 Kings chapter 12, he consulted with both the elder men of the tribe and the younger men of the tribe to decide how he was going to lead the people. He decided to side with the younger men and decided to add burdens to the people and to punish them harsher than Solomon ever had. The result? Because of this abuse of power, God's people became divided. We see that happening way too often in the church today. Somebody becomes power hungry, loses their sight of the ultimate goal, and the result is the same. God's church is torn asunder. The next example of someone abusing their power is found that we're going to look at. There's a lot of them in the Bible. Is one to look at Pontius Pilate in Matthew chapter 27. In that chapter, we see that Pilate is the governor and he's in charge of a province there. And Jesus is brought before him. We know that Pilate had a lot of power because he had soldiers that were under his command. These same soldiers were the ones that were involved in Christ being spat upon and smote and then led away and crucified. Pilate, instead of doing what was right, used his power to make people happy. Turn with me, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 19. "When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood shall be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Pilate used his power to have our Lord and Savior crucified. Why? Because he wanted to make people happy. We've looked at five examples of people who've used their power contrary to God's word. Hopefully by examining them, we can learn how we ought to use the power that we have and to use it according to God's word. We all have some type of power. We may be the boss at work. We may be the owner of a company. One day, it may be as the President of the United States. It may be as a parent. It may simply be as a citizen of this nation, where you have the power to make your own decisions. So how do we deal with that power? What do we do when we find ourselves the person with power and we want to do it right? The answer is in the Bible. The first example I want to look at is Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. His brothers were jealous of him. They took him and sold him into slavery and went back and told his father that he was dead. But because of Joseph's faith in God in a foreign land, he rose to power. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 39, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy words shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Joseph became second in command in the land of Egypt. He had a lot of power. And what did he do with it? When his brothers, the same brothers that sold him into slavery, lied to their father about where he was, when they came to Egypt to get food because of the famine, what did Joseph do? Did he set out to get even with them? Did he set out to get revenge? In verse 25 in Genesis chapter 42, we read what Joseph did. "Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them." Joseph sent them away with their food and the money that they had paid for the food. As we read on in Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 through 7. This is Joseph talking. "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in which there shall be neither be earling or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph had helped save their lives. Instead of seeking revenge, he treated them as he would like to be treated. In Matthew 7:12, we have that same admonition. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." We're also told about revenge in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So when we have power, we still need to remember the golden rule. And we need to remember to let the wrongs that have been done unto us, to let them go, because God is going to handle them. The second person I wanted to look at was Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1. Solomon has just become king. And in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people, like the dust of the earth in the multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge thy people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall any after thee have the like. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning in verse 22, we see where this is fulfilled. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and raiment, harness and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. But with all his power and might, Solomon summed it up in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, we read, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When we have power, when we have riches, and we have might, we still need to remember these words, fear God and keep his commandments. The last example that I'm going to talk about tonight is in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And this is one of the verses, one of the stories that we read. It's about King Josiah, who became the king at the tender age of 8. In 2 Chronicles 34, we read at the age of 26 that he was read a book of the law of the Lord that had been given by Moses. And what did he do? We're going to read the scriptures here in a minute. What did he do? Did he try and take all the glory for himself? Did he set out to kill someone? Did he set out to find a prostitute? Did he commit adultery? Did he do what the people wanted? In verses 1 and 2 in 2 Chronicles 34, And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. In verse 18, Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. As we read on there, we see that they go and they inquire, and then the word comes back to him from God. In verse 26, And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against the place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledst thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Verse 31, And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. In all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Brothers and sisters, we have the power to do what Josiah did. We see first that he wasn't too important to study God's word. He had the word read unto him and was touched by it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we are told to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. With all the king's power, he was tender-hearted. Josiah had a soft spot in his heart for those that were going to be destroyed because they had not followed God's word, as we read in verse 27. In Ephesians 4:32, we read, And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. King Josiah was willing to humble himself. Josiah did not look to exalt himself. He knew that even though he had the power of the king, that God was in control, that God had all the power. He knew that he needed to humble himself. The Bible talks about this several places. In Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, this is Jesus speaking. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 23, verse 12, And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And then in James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We see that King Josiah, even with all of his power, was touched by the plight of others, so much that it made him weep. Probably the greatest example of this, not probably, the greatest example of this, was Jesus. Jesus was willing to come to this earth and die for each and every one of us because he loved us. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Christ was so touched that he gave his life for us. Josiah, as we read in verse 31, decided then and there, even with all his power, that he was going to keep the commandments of God. In John 14:15, we read, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And then Matthew 7, verses 21 through 27, we read another story of where we have to obey. And then the last point tonight, Josiah, with all his power, used his influence to teach others. Not only to teach others, but he removed the evil out of the country, and he kept them faithful, as we read in verses 32 and 33. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we are given that one of those same commandments. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." In James 5, verses 19 through 20, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." Hebrews 3, verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We need to use our influence to teach others, to remove evil, and help keep others faithful. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. No, not always, if one has the mind to do as God commanded. We've just seen several examples, not to mention the greatest example of Christ, of those who use their power to the glory of God. So tonight, as we've studied, we've looked at some bad ways to handle the power that we have. We've looked at some good ways to handle the power also. But you may be saying to yourself, I'm just the lowest person on the totem pole. Well, I have good news for you. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "For there is no respect of persons with God." God expects all of us, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how great, no matter how little you may feel in your own eyes, to do those things that we talked about, to do those things that Josiah did. And secondly, we do have power. We have the most important power that there is. We have the power to choose who we're going to serve. Joshua said in Joshua 24 through 15, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You have the power to choose. In Matthew 6:24, we read, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." There's two choices. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve mammon? So the use of your power is totally in your hands and no one else's. You determine how you're going to use it. Will you choose to use it wisely, and follow the commandments of God, or will you choose to use it for self-pleasure? Will you study? Will you be tender-hearted? Will you be humble? Will you be concerned about others? And will you use your influence to help others? The choice is yours. Power. What power do you have? You have the power right now to become a child of God by obeying His commandments. Romans 10:17 tells us you have to hear. You have to believe. John 3:16, repent. Acts 2:38, confess your sins. Romans 10:9-10. Confess Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized. Acts 2:38. And then continue to live that faithful Christian life with all the power that is in you, and you'll receive that crown of life. Revelations 2:10. If you've done that, but for whatever reasons you failed to properly use your power and you've sinned, it's not too late. If you come, confess those sins and repent, you can be forgiven. 1 John 1:9. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. No, not true for a child of God. Please come as together we stand and sing.